Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Our first story this week is Nampak, a company that is doing its best to deal with a broken balance sheet, but sometimes a mountain is just too big to climb. Despite growing revenue by 20% in the quarter ended December, operating profit is down because of foreign exchange losses. Nampak desperately needs to move cash from its African subsidiaries to the holding company in South Africa, having to pay terrible exchange rates along the way because of lack of foreign currency in places like Nigeria. How severe is that impact? Well, in the 2022 financial year, trading profit from low forex risk jurisdictions was 474 million rand, and from higher risk regions came in at 907 million rand. The problem is, by the time the cash is moved to South Africa, the latter number is only worth 398 million. Put differently, nearly 60% of the value of the profits from tough jurisdictions is being lost to forex issues. Management interventions in the business have brought the proposed rights offer down from 2 billion rand to 1.5 billion rand, but that is still gigantic, as Nampak's market cap is only 690 million rand. The share price has lost over 93% of its value in the past 5 years. At Pepkor, the acquisition of Avenida in Brazil has flattered top-line revenue growth, to say the least. When you know a company has been on the acquisition trail, you need to actually ignore overall revenue growth and instead look for like-for-like growth in the reporting, as this tells you how the core business is performing. Like-for-like at Pepkor fell by 1.4%, driven by a really bad performance at Ackermans that saw sales drop by 8%. In an inflationary environment, that means a big knock to volumes. Now, Pepkor blames the merchandise mix at Ackermans, so that's a solid reminder of the risks of operating in the fashion industry, even in a business like Ackermans that is focused on basics. I was quite surprised to see reasonable numbers, though, out of the building materials side of the group, with the building company up 1.8%. But the bigger question is where the market share is going in value clothing, because we know that Mr. Price definitely didn't get any of it, given their recent numbers. Could it be Pick and Pay clothing, or could it be cheap online options that have come into South Africa? Only time will tell. In other retail news, ShopRite is still growing beautifully. In the 6 months to the 1st of January 2023, group sales were up 15.6%. Like-for-like growth in supermarkets RSA, that was 11.1%, and that's fantastic, adding to the prior period that saw growth of 11.3%. So how's that for through-the-cycle performance, with volume gains as well? ShopRite has noted that they achieved 46 months of consecutive market share gains, a wonderful statistic that the management team should be very proud of. Much of that success is because ShopRite operates store formats that are relevant to all consumers. Checkers and Checkers Hyper, that was up 16.9%. ShopRite and Usave, that was up 15.1%. But unfortunately, the story does deteriorate further down the income statement. Gross margin is slightly down, driven by pressure in supply chains. But thanks to Eskom, ShopRite had to spend 560 million rand on diesel for generators just towards the end of last year. ShopRite is an impressive company, to say the least, but the share price gain of 1.9% thus far this year would be far more if not for factors like load shedding. Speaking of supply chain, Supergroup is truly living up to its name. In the 6 months to December, the logistics group was driven by strong demand for commodities and consumer goods that needed to be moved around. Revenue was up between 30% and 40%, and headline earnings per share was 25% to 35% higher. So there's a little bit of margin compression, but still, it just shows that supply chain pressure for some companies is actually great news for others. Supergroup also owns a car dealerships business in the UK and South Africa, which is benefiting from higher availability of stock for sale. Supergroup is one of those typical under-the-radar companies where the management track record actually is fantastic in terms of shareholder value creation. Ellie's has been telling the market for a while that it needs to make a meaningful acquisition in the alternative energy space. The core business is waning, and alternative energy is clearly a growth area in South Africa thanks to Eskom, adjacent to some of Eliza's existing operations. Now, this deal hasn't come cheap, I'm afraid, with a 10x earnings multiple on the table for a company called Bundu Power, which makes around 20 million rand in profit every year. Now, the good news here for shareholders is that there is an earn-out structure in place, which means that Ellie's will effectively be paying the sellers using the cash flow generated by the business that Ellie's is buying. Earnouts are hugely important in reducing risk in major acquisitions. MTN had a great week in its African subsidiaries. In Ghana, the crazy tax assessment has been fully withdrawn now, so the Ghanaian government will need to shake other trees to see where the money can fall out, to help it deal with the fact that it has defaulted on its foreign debt. In Nigeria, MTN is still growing beautifully. Service revenue increased by 21.5% and EBITDA by 22%. So that means even further margin expansion to a very juicy 53.2% in that country. Capital expenditure is 23.5% higher in Nigeria, as MTN continues to invest in an infrastructure rollout in the country. As we saw with Nampak though, getting money out of Nigeria is not easy. It helps greatly that MTN can reinvest its profits in the country rather than suffering major losses in trying to repatriate all of the cash. And finally, just keep an eye on the food producers. RCL has flagged a tough earnings outcome for the 6 months to December, with HEPS down between 20.1% and 26.8%. The poultry business is obviously taking a lot of pain. We know this from Astral Foods. But the bakery business is also under pressure as well because of load shedding. Now, that is an interesting read-through for Tiger Brands, a company whose share price performance in the second half of 2022 really surprised me. Let's see what it does this year, because the company simply cannot be immune to the problems of load shedding. And that's a wrap. Remember, nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research.